You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers, by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.
Bon dia, Manny.
Bon dia, Phil.
No, it's Philippe.
Philippe. Like if it's Spanish.
Well, Portuguese too. Philippe.
Oh, that's right. It's true. Man. Yeah, that's right.
No, listen,
for a Portuguese guy, man.
No, man, I probably know more Spanish.
Really? Oh, you're from the island, so.
What does that mean?
Because the island guys, you guys have a different way of saying things, man.
We have a lot less stress, I guess, man.
That's yeah, sure. Beach life.
We're surrounded by water.
Yeah, no, that's not a bad, beautiful place.
What are we talking about today? What's going on? Welcome back. What's happening?
So, just a couple little updates.
Another
episode of Safety Corner. We had some questions from our tampons and menstrual pads in construction episode. So some questions on Instagram and just some further explanation and a couple comments on how my math was kind of way off and stuff like that. So
by whom? Math teachers? I don't understand how the math.
My math was a little off there because we were going off some numbers that we weren't sure of, and you know, but I cleared it up and we did a little bit more deep diving. And plus, there were some comments and questions regarding washroom facilities and what's required on job sites when it comes to washroom facilities, and whether or not air conditioning is required when it comes to washroom facilities.
You ever been in?
I have.
Yeah,
Manny, I think every washroom should have come with heat, should come with air conditioning, should come with 3-ply toilet paper, should come with an air freshener.
If you're perspiring while you're on the toilet, there's some issues going on in that environment.
In the wintertime or just in the summertime? No,
in the summertime. If you're perspiring in the wintertime, that's a whole other, you get to the ER.
You've got problems. But you've never seen those memes where like a big guy walks into the porta potty in the summertime and he walks out and he's like, he lost 100 pounds.
Yeah, I've seen those. You've seen those ones? Yeah.
Because the porta potty is so hot, it turns into a blue sauna.
Yeah. I still think there should be a porta potty class in school.
What would you teach?
Just to prepare them for what to expect and put those toilets in like a freezer.
Well, one day they'll invent the technology, scratch and sniff. You'll be able to see a picture and scratch it and sniff it.
Some, you know what? In all fairness, some of the best artists are in construction.
What, the drawings? All the colorful sayings you find in a washroom?
Follow this. Okay, go over here.
Oh, my God.
Look up. Okay, go down here.
It's caught me at least 3 or 4 times, man.
But that's what I mean. Prepare the kids to understand that that's what's going to happen if you're on the job site.
Are you ever prepared for something like that, though?
No, you're not.
You have to experience it.
Listen, I still have shelter shock from it, right? Like, it's just the experience of just knowing it. Experiencing it, yeah.
Listen, washrooms are always a big issue. Washrooms are always an ongoing issue. Washrooms can get really disgusting. There's really good ones. There's really bad ones. And then it's just builders and developers and constructors' approach to the washroom facilities and maintaining those washroom facilities and stuff like that, that's right?
When we discussed that. So you, before you get into that, you going political or you want to talk about anything? Nothing political? What's going on? Actually, you brought up a good point the other day. That the election coming up in Canada here is falling on the same day.
As April 28th, day of mourning.
And we just thought, was that by just chance or was, like, I don't understand.
I don't know. I've never seen an election called on the day of mourning, let alone, like, on Remembrance Day. Can you imagine an election on Remembrance Day?
I don't know if that would be right. That's what I mean. I don't think it's right. Away from that day. And I still think it should be a year, in my opinion. But
I don't know why they picked that date, but I guess that's the date that they picked. And it so happens to fall on the day of mourning. And
foreshadowing something, maybe?
I don't know. That's the script, part of the Matrix.
Well, it's good to see the good old new flag version out and about. I like it.
Ooh, what?
There's a new flag out now. There's a fuck Carney flag out.
Somebody got creative?
I already knew that was going to happen.
Well, yeah, it was just a play on, you know.
But I think it should be a double flag.
But on Amazon, you can find everything. They're selling gear 51st state. And they're
really?
Yeah, man.
Will it ship to Canada?
Probably.
Or does it get flagged?
Maybe. Charge some tariffs on it? I don't know, man.
I don't know. I'm just staying quiet, I guess, right now, because it's just like right now we've got, you know, you got MP members making threats and getting it's people all a telenovela, bounty, man. Bounty on people's heads.
It's all a telenovela, all of it. It's all a telenovela. And
can we just focus on the people and making this nation better?
It's all about focusing on
giving an opportunity to the people.
No? Yeah, no, the orange man. That's the only thing that's the topic.
No, he's perfectly fine. I don't have an issue with him, man. So
yeah, well, apparently, if you're looking left, you don't have to look at the whole smorgasbord of failures on the right.
Right. Moving on to washrooms. It's actually ironic. Our political sphere and washrooms.
They go hand in hand, man. They kind of have a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
But all right, let's jump into this. So on that note, first, we'd like to congratulate our client Sunrise Contracting, who got their ISO 45001, but most recently got their IAF requirements. A majority of their projects are for the City of Toronto.
That's the bigger one, isn't it?
The IAF one? Yeah. That's the extra check mark that the City of Toronto is requiring. But again, a little more tedious to go through that IAF process.
How long did it take?
It took longer than I wanted it to.
You were orchestrating that whole thing with them?
I wouldn't use the word orchestrating.
You were part of it?
Yeah, no, of course. We spearheaded.
You were on the team?
Yeah, I'm definitely on the team. And, you know, between us and the employer and the workers and the requirements and compliance and due diligence and safety culture and all of those ingredients in the mix, we definitely achieved IAF, ISO IAF, which is great. And like I said, I just want to say a big shout out to them. I think they're one of the first few companies in Ontario to get this IAF accreditation. So a big shout out to that team over there, and big shout out to everybody and all the workers that are doing an excellent job, man.
Can I ask?
No.
did they get IAF for a particular project coming up that's demanding that they have
the IAF? Bottom line is, if you want to bid on the City of Toronto projects, you need to have this IAF.
There we go.
Everyone is scrambling.
My back is scratching right now. Okay. I get it.
It's you have to jump. Remember we talked about this a previous show, the accreditation programs and stuff like that? Yeah. And ISO, before this, ISO was accepted, and now it's only ISO with.
I just feel like it's a bingo card now.
Well, hey, listen, between all these acronyms and between all these extra hoops here and extra hoops there, you know, the question still comes down to it, man. You know, if you have an effective health and safety management system, how is that translating in real life? How is that keeping workers safe? Right? That's the priority.
Right. So you can't see that priority until the project's done and you go through the project.
Well, no, because this client has a history. We've worked with them for a long time. We've achieved this. You know, they've come a long way. They've implemented the processes. To me, this is just a bonus, right? To me, that's how I look at it. You know, what we wanted to achieve was the improvement of the safety culture of this company. What we wanted to do was make their workplaces or their projects more safe. What we wanted to do is reduce the amount of injuries. And we've achieved those goals.
So it's interesting. I had a conversation with Jim recently, and I mentioned to him about the whole, any Russian goods, any Russian products.
Oh, yeah, from that other.
And he was just like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, no, a lot of people were surprised by that because they didn't think that, you know, they would interject politics or initiatives into, but... it is a good way to interject these things. It's money and initiatives. And if you want to get this money, you got to participate, right? And jump through the hoops again.
I don't agree with it, but I know. Okay, great. If this makes them safer and they do projects and every tradesperson goes home and they no injuries, and I'm all for it 100%.
Well, listen, it comes down to safety culture, you know? And ensuring that the workers have the information, they're not set up for failure, and they go out there and they have the right equipment and they do the job and, you know, they take their time. And yeah, that's the important component of this, right? It's just, I just want to get home, man. Just want to get home at the end of the night and see my family.
That's what everybody wants to.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, man. That's what it comes down to. Get a paycheck, have a family, and so. Keep all my fingers.
Okay, cool.
All right, so let's kind of jump into this. We are going to go over some requirements for water on projects, washrooms, and wash facilities. Okay, there were some questions. When does it apply? What type of washrooms, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like after the one that we did, the episode that we did, I ended up getting more questions, which is great. So let's try to tackle some of these things. First, we're going to jump into some regulations, man. All right. So bear with me because we got a lot of reading. Get the glasses out.
There, it's perfectly
sure. All right.
I can read.
Number one. Reasonable supply of potable drinking water shall be kept readily accessible at a project for use of the workers. So?
Sure. Running water. Sure.
No, this has to do with drinking water.
Oh, this is drinking water.
Yep.
Okay.
So if you're supplying drinking water, which you require to on a project, drinking water shall be supplied from a piping system or from a clean covered container with a drain or a faucet. Workers shall be given a sanitary means of drinking the water. Workers shall not be required to share a common drinking cup to drink the water. Okay, so that's why.
I always ask the guys to bring in their own refillable container.
Yeah, that works too, man. Right. But again, you want to make sure that there's cups there for the workers to drink. Usually what you'll see is the paper.
They add up over time.
Oh, yeah.
And then guess what? They leave them all over the job site.
Yeah.
Right next to the Tim Hortons cups, which I go around and I throw them all out.
Yes, man.
I get it.
But again, just put a garbage there.
No, there's garbage there too. You're talking to a worker that sees a garbage and sees a ledge. And they'll put it on the ledge before they put it on the garbage.
All right, let's talk about menstrual pad. We got a lot of regs to go through here.
What number are you at?
28.1.
28.1.
So 20 or more workers are regularly employed at a project. The constructor shall ensure that menstrual products are provided. Okay?
Sure.
So it's the constructor. Now we're getting into toilets.
What did we say last time? It was the constructor?
No. They just wanted to be clear to questions out there. So it's the constructor that's responsible. So now we get into washroom facilities. The constructor
shall
ensure the facilities are provided or arranged for workers before work has started at a project, and the workers at the project have a reasonable access to these facilities.
Of course.
The facilities shall be located not more than 90 meters, where reasonably possible, and otherwise not more than 180 meters measured horizontally from the project work area. Okay, so when you're looking at a high rise,
meters
horizontally.
Yeah, I get it. So I'm just trying to figure out. So
road work.
Not more than 180 meters.
Correct.
That works out to be, so one floor is 3.5 meters.
Wait. Not vertical?
Vertical.
No, horizontal.
So what's the vertical?
Workers, where am I here?
No.
Not more than 180 meters 90.
Measured horizontally.
Okay, but we're not on horizontal. So your scenario was a high rise. The facility shall be located not more than 90 meters.
That's horizontal. That's vertically. Oh, vertically.
It doesn't say vertically. It just says not more than 90 meters. Where so
90 meters is basically, what is that? Hang on a sec. So 300. Okay, so basically 10. That's 27 stories. So you're telling me that a bathroom can be at floor number one,
we're
and the next
keep,
one?
We're going to keep going into it because there's a couple more.
That can't be right. 27 Hold stories on. Between washrooms?
I'm just telling you what the regulation says.
I know. I just did the math.
The facility
on average, 10 feet per story. And then,
The facility shall be located not more than 90 meters where reasonably possible, and otherwise not more than 180 meters measured horizontally from a project work area. Okay. If the work is being performed in a tunnel, shall be located not more than 180 meters. The facilities may be located not more than 3 kilometers from the work area if transportation to the facilities is provided for workers where reasonably required. So, remember we talked about...
That's half a kilometer. You know that, right?
Where are you at?
180 meters. So, if you're in a tunnel, a half a kilometer is where you're supposed to put the bathroom.
Not supposed to. Not more than. You can put it a lot closer. All it's saying is the farthest.
But the max, so they're allowing you to put it a half a kilometer away.
Yeah.
You don't think that's far?
Depends on the design of the project.
I think a half a kilometer is too far. I think it should be a lot closer.
Yeah, it says not more than. So you can put it a lot closer.
Right, sure. All right.
The facilities may be located not more than 3 kilometers from a work area if transportation to the facilities is provided.
Yeah, okay. So now you're going to need a gator or something like that to travel. But hold on a second. A golf cart.
We got to keep on reading, Manny. Hold on. If the project is the construction of a building, the facility shall be located not more than 9 meters. There you go.
Of a building.
Yes.
But I was going back to the tunnel.
Yeah, the tunnel is 180 meters.
That's far.
measured vertically from the level at which work is being performed. And that's the key word, where work is being performed.
Where's the subsection for diapers? Because like the guys are not going to make it, man. I'm sorry.
That's why they'll put them closer.
180 meters away.
Again, you cannot put them farther than that. You can put them at 120 meters. But you can put them at 10 meters.
As a developer, I'm going to adhere to the rules that they're outlining right here.
No, it's parameters. It's not, Manny. This is why we're doing this show.
Okay, yeah, fine.
The location of facilities under subsection 7, which is the high rise vertical 9 meters, may be varied if the arrangement affords reasonable accessibility for workers. So there's the caveat there. Right? 9, if the location of the facilities is varied, the constructor shall document in writing the location and the reasons for the variance. We're going to try to skip some of these, but 10, the constructor shall inform workers of the locations of the facilities and B, post the location of the facilities in a conspicuous place at the project. So tell all the workers where the washrooms are and post signs indicating where the washrooms are.
Don't worry, the workers are going to tell them where the washrooms are.
No, they're the ones that got to place them. They're the ones that got to
hole, and they're going to take care of it right then and there.
The facility shall be serviced, cleaned, and sanitized as frequently as necessary to maintain them in a clean and sanitary condition. The facility shall be kept in good repair at all times. The constructor shall keep the project, the duration of the project, records of servicing, and stuff like that. Okay. And then we go into the difference between non-sewered flush toilets and sewered and chemical flush toilets. Okay.
We're so used to chemical flush toilets.
That's the ones, that's porta potties.
That's pretty much, yeah.
Right? Sewered is flushable. So non-sewered toilets are not connected. They're equipped with a trap or positive seal. So that's why you have the flap. The waste is first flushed from the bowl with water or water containing chemical additives, and the waste is deposited in the container. The
blue stuff.
Yeah. Each toilet facility shall meet the following requirements. The facility shall have a toilet with an open front toilet seat, mm-hmm. toilet paper holder, and an adequate supply of toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice if it said 3-ply there, but
no. Single ply.
A self-closing door that can be locked from the inside. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. The facility shall be adequately illuminated by mm-hmm. natural or artificial light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Be adequately heated. And here's the caveat. If that is possible.
What does that mean?
What
do you mean if that's possible? If there's no power?
I don't see any scenario where it can't be heated.
If you have workers, you require power to do the operation of the worker, no?
Sorry, what?
If you have workers on site, mm-hmm. then you have power on site to yeah. do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you can power the toilet to be heated. So yeah. I don't understand why you have to put in if that is possible.
Keep in mind, these washroom laws have been here for a very long time.
So time to update them. I'm sure that somebody from the government has not gone through the way you've gone through this.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't okay. know. All but right. adequately heated if that is possible. Ventilated. Adequately ventilated, not air conditioned. Ventilated is the holes that you see at the
top. I know the holes.
And afford the user privacy and protection from weather and falling objects. Let me just talk about this one really quick. Afford the user privacy. I don't know if you remember the roll-offs that they used to have back in the day on high rises that had no cover.
Yeah, I remember those.
Right? And you'd be there.
They were only 5 foot tall or something.
Yeah, you'd be sitting there and using the washroom and people would be throwing stuff inside and sticking their heads
over. Before
social media. So even at the MOL when I was there, we started writing the orders for doesn't afford user privacy. So we started kiboshing some of these. And that's when they came with a convertible top after the MOL. A couple of key inspectors that started really hammering this.
Because they probably used it and then walked in there and realized, oh, look, everybody can see me.
Yeah.
I know.
Separate toilet facilities shall be provided for male and female workers unless the facilities are intended to be used by only one worker at a time, which makes complete sense.
Yeah, we've already discussed that, yeah.
Yeah, where the minimum number of toilets required a project under Section 5 or 7 is 5 or more, at least one facility at the project shall be for the use of female workers only where reasonable in the circumstances.
Okay.
Facilities intended by males and females will have a sign, receptacle for menstrual products.
Yeah.
And then we get into the washrooms and the tables and the number of workers. So just to put this on the table, one worker, one washroom. And then you keep on going. 1 to 15, one for sewered.
So two washrooms for 16 to 30 people?
Seward. Those are Seward washrooms. Seward,
but then non-Seward.
Right here, porta potty.
So two washrooms for 11 to 20 people.
Correct. So basically mm-hmm. the rule of thumb is one washroom for 10 workers.
Got it.
Okay. Here we go. This is a tricky one. Each single toilet facility shall be provided with its own cleanup facility. One readily accessible cleanup facility may be provided for every two single toilet facilities if those single toilet facilities are located together. In the multiple toilets cleanup.
You're talking about the cleanup.
Here we go. Each cleanup facility shall meet the following requirements. Subject to subsection 3, the facility shall have a wash basin with running water. Mm-hmm. Both hot and cold running water shall be available.
I said that.
If reasonably possible.
That's bullshit. You have to have hot and cold.
You don't have to. I'm just saying. This is what the regulation is.
And that's
why
you need the heat, right? Because that's the only way that it could heat up the water.
Let's keep going here. Soap and hand cleanser shall be provided. Paper towels or hand dryer shall be provided. If paper towels... Or
I've never seen a hand dryer.
Of course not. But again, or
it's paper towels.
Yeah. If paper towels are provided, there shall be a waste disposal receptacle nearby.
I think paper towels should be perforated down the middle because when you run out of toilet paper, you can use paper towels.
And here's the next caveat. If it is not reasonably possible to have a wash basin with running water or a cleanup facility, both of the following shall be provided. A means of cleaning hands. An alcohol-based hand sanitizer containing a minimum of 60% alcohol. 30. Workers who handle or use corrosive, poisonous, or other, and here's the key word here too, other substances likely to endanger their health shall be provided with washing facilities with clean water, soap, and individual towels. Is that something you've seen before?
No.
No.
Because normally you use the bathroom as that station right there.
Yep. But the bathroom only has sanitizer. I agree with it
because if you do have a worker handling corrosive, poisonous, or other substances, you don't want them using...
Other substances likely to endanger.
Yeah, so you don't want them using the bathroom that everybody else is using.
Well, no, you want a place to wash your hands before you go eat your lunch.
I think, in that situation, if I had a particular job, what I would do is you have a separate toilet exclusively for the workers that are using corrosive, poisonous, and only that one.
A place for them to wash their hands.
Yeah, but you're not going to set up a basin somewhere. You're going to just use a toilet.
Yeah, you get one of those toilets that have running water.
Yeah.
Like, this is the issue with this is I'm handling chemicals.
I know.
Again, I'm wearing PPE, or should be wearing PPE.
Yeah.
But there's times that guys will wash their hands with gasoline. Right? So, you know, there has to be a place for them to wash their hands.
Gasoline cleans everything, man.
Yeah, well... So does vodka, and I don't see me washing my hands with it.
Right? No, you drink it.
Yeah, it cleans a lot inside. But anyways, that is the washrooms in a nutshell. So if anybody
the
wants...
The only thing I disagree with is the AC, man. I'm sorry. And hot running water.
Listen, yeah, it should just be mandatory, especially after COVID, man. You know,
because the issue is that cold water freezes in the winter if you don't heat that toilet.
Or there's a chemical additive to the water, like glycol, that they use...
So now you're washing your hands in glycol. That's not a good thing either.
No, but that's how they maintain it from not freezing.
You might as well just have a 4 liter of antifreeze there.
Or windshield washer fluid. It has glycol in it too. Right? So anyways, this is it. I hope it kind of addresses some of the questions.
All right. The toilet peanut gallery? Is that what went on there? Hey,
listen, not everybody is well versed in washrooms, man.
Listen, it's really simple. You want to figure out what you want on your job site, then you as a constructor use the facilities and you quickly learn what's required on the job site.
Agreed. Because the supervisors on those projects usually have their own washroom with their own key.
They go to the trailer and they, I know.
Yep. And a lot of, and it's
separate. That's not right.
No. But let's keep going here.
So moving on.
This is one of the questions we got. Philip, the last episode on WIC, women in construction, I guess.
WIC?
Yeah, women in construction. I'd say workers in construction, but...
Oh, no, washrooms in construction.
But anyways, this is what they said, man. He started stopping.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out what
it was really well done. Why don't you fast forward to that part?
I don't know text jargon, okay? All
right, Thank you for having this conversation and not mansplaining. I've got one question for you, though. Why are feminine care products available for women in construction, which is amazing, and not available to all women, schools, offices, all industries? Just wondering. Thanks.
That's not true. Did an idiot boy, he put it into men's washrooms in all public, in schools and everything now?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, no, he put it in men's washrooms.
Yeah, I don't see how that helps women, though.
But that person is saying that it's not in schools, offices, and all industries.
Again, I'm sure there are some places.
You tell me there's facilities that have feminine products in men's bathrooms, but not in the female bathrooms of these facilities?
I hope not. That would make zero sense.
But I mean, according to him.
Yeah, I know, but he's not here anymore. So let's
stop. He's still here. Okay, anyways, I get it. All right.
The point, whether...
Yeah, but we don't talk about schools, offices, or other industries. We talk about construction.
Of course. But again, this person has a question, Manny, and we're going to try our best to answer it.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. That's my comment.
What's your comment then? What's your answer to this?
Well, my answer is that, well, if you're in a school system, then speak up. And you walk into the female bathroom and it's not there, then say, why aren't they there?
Okay, well, that's one office answer.
The same thing. Industries, whatever industries they are, then you speak up.
So the number one reason why this is available in construction, okay, is because it was written in the construction regulations. If the government wanted this to apply to all workplaces in this province, they would have written it either in the Occupational Health and Safety Act or went to all the regulations, construction, industrial, mining, healthcare, and write this regulation or this requirement in all the regulations.
But I thought the Ministry of Labor handles all occupational.
They do.
So then I don't understand how that's not applicable to these sectors.
Right. So let's dive a little bit more into it.
Oh.
All right. So just to recap, just so we do a little bit of math, because our math was a little off. Maybe not a little off, but it was quick maths. Right. So we did a little bit of a deeper dive into the workforce, Ontario, women, males, et cetera, et cetera. Who applies? So let's go through this. In January 2024, there were 13.1 million people in Ontario aged 15 years or older. Wow. Why 15? Because that's the legal age you can start working.
Sure.
Okay, well, for some.
Sure, that's what I mean. Right? Sure.
8.5 million, 64.8%. And sorry, all of these stats are from either StatsCan or jobbank.gc.ca, which is another government branch or stats, job market reports, and also the Ontario government.
I feel like those government, it's almost like Wikipedia.
I don't know. Yeah. The labor force increased by 17,000 in January compared to December. 7.9 million, 60.8% were employed, up by 23,800 from December. So, let's take a look at construction. In 2023, the construction sector employed 596,000 people in Ontario. So let's stop it there for a second. This is people, all genders, and this is not including the illegals.
Because you can't count them.
No. So I'll tack on easily another 50,000 for illegals to this number. I know, I'm trying to be a little conservative.
Okay.
I think you're
probably closer to 750 in total.
Yeah, 150,000 illegals?
I would say so.
Yeah, it's quite possible at the time this was written in 2023.
Listen, I don't know. Never mind. I was going to say something, but.
Are you censoring yourself?
No. Have you been to Square One lately?
No.
Okay.
The construction industry, and this is key. The construction industry contributed $59.1 billion, 6.8% to Ontario's GDP.
Where did it go?
I don't know. In 2023, compared to the previous year, construction GDP in Ontario fell by $1.2 billion. So if the construction industry provides 6.8% to Ontario's GDP, and construction gets cut in half, 50% reduction of the amount of projects and the amount, let's just say, based on current economic situation. So that means that
2024 is going to look a lot more like $30 billion?
Yeah.
GDP?
Yeah. No, not $30 billion. $30 billion towards GDP, but you're looking at 3.6%.
So I guarantee you, check this out next year. It won't be that number.
No, it won't. Not if they're truthful.
It's going to maybe be just under 50.
So that's, and on previous shows, like this lack of money coming into GDP in Ontario is massive.
I'm telling you, the marketing people look at this data when they put it together and they're like, you can't sell that percentage point. You have to increase that percentage.
You know, but this is compared to, this is data and analytics. I know, but
we should be told the truth.
I'm sure this is pretty close to the truth, Manny.
No. When it comes to 2024, this is no
2024. Oh, yeah.
But there is a dramatic fall in 2024. I don't care what anybody slices.
Oh, no.
We saw that.
We see on the front lines.
You can boast all your numbers about 22 and 23, but no, yeah. 2024 is going to be half that. Okay, I get it.
All right. Let's talk about the workforce. Males accounted for 87% of Ontario's construction workforce in 2023, compared to 52.6% for all other industries. So that means that there's 13% females in the construction workforce. Now, this is something I don't know. Does this include females on a construction project? Well, it does. But does it also include females that work for the construction company, but they work in the office?
That's what I mean. I think it does, because there's no way it's 13% on boots on the ground.
So let's look at the numbers. So I sliced it up. Males equals 87%. That's a total of 518,000 males.
Okay.
In construction. Again, though, does this number apply to the guys in the field or also the ones working in the office? And it's important to note this. The construction regulations only apply to construction projects, which is where the tampons and the menstrual pads.
They don't apply to the admin?
They do not apply to the industrial office. Facility. The industrial facility, the regulations are the industrial regulations. The industrial regulations do not have a section that deals with tampons and menstrual products.
Again, I go back to the Ministry of Labor covers all occupations.
Yes. But I think it's important to understand the numbers when we're talking about initiatives and, you know, I guess ways to get females into construction. So females equals 13%. That's a total of 77,480. Again, I don't know if this includes just the project or it includes also females that work in the offices.
I think it's both. Why are you half of it?
So, based on the requirements for the tampons and menstrual pads, if this is just the 77,000 is just the construction projects, and this is how I did the math, that the 77,000 is just construction projects, then based on the type of construction projects, the tampons and menstrual pads are only going to require to be on 50% of construction projects, give or take. Meaning a project that lasts longer than 3 months and a project that has 20 or more workers. So if your project lasts less than 3 months,
you don't need
or has less than 20 workers, you don't need tampons or menstrual pads.
You already know it. All bathrooms.
I know. I know.
All times.
So then you look at the total number of workers in Ontario. So total male employment is 4,179,600. The total female employment is 3,758,200.
All industries.
All everything. Everyone that's getting a paycheck in Ontario.
Got it. Okay.
So if you slice it this way, and again, maybe someone will slice it a little differently. Maybe this number, the 38,740, is a lot less. Maybe this number is including everybody in industrial and construction females. But if you go based on this number, 38,740 females in the field, out of all the women that work in Ontario, this law only applies to 1.03% of women that work in Ontario.
The entire amount.
The tampons and menstrual pads only apply,
based on the rules that they've outlined, only 1.03%.
Of all women in all industry, in all sectors.
How many people is that of 3.758,200?
38,740.
That's 38,740? So of the 3,758 and change.
So the government passed a law and implemented a law to deal with tampons and menstrual pads. And this issue has been on the radar for a long time about having availability and period poverty and all kinds of other stuff. this has been on the radar for a long time, and the government always, you know, besides putting menstrual pads in men's washrooms, the government always said, great. And they passed it and they did it. But the reality is they only did it to apply to 1% of all females in the workplaces. So for the people that were asking the question, how come it doesn't apply to this sector and that sector, and how come? Because it only applies to 1% of all females that work in Ontario.
So basically the government did nothing.
Well, they did nothing for 99% of females in the workforce.
What I'd like to know is, what did that cost Joe taxpayer? Joe and Jane taxpayer.
A couple million.
What did that cost?
Easily. The people
figure
that,
this out?
To figure it out, to pay these workers at the government.
Of the population.
To identify, to do case studies, to have meetings beyond meetings beyond meetings, to pass laws, to do this, to do that. And you're right. And this, in the end of the whole story, it only applies to 1% of the females in Ontario.
What a waste, man.
Right? So that kind of...
We need Dodgers so bad, man.
Right? Hey, listen, man. They sold it really good. The narrative on this was insane. We are going to help women.
Now you're getting people going, I don't see it. And why don't I see it?
You don't see it because it only...
Why isn't it in our schools or our offices or our industry? Here's the reason why it's not there.
Well, here's the reason why the government... This is what the government did.
Useless.
They applied a law that only applies to 1%. 99% of you ladies... Sorry. So that's it in a nutshell. That's the washrooms, that's the tampons, and I don't want to talk about tampons and menstrual pads anymore.
Well, unless more people bring out and they come out and then they just ask you more questions about that. Your math was wrong.
Oh, so maybe.
Right now there's 4.1 million, we'll call it 4.2 million men working in Ontario.
Yep.
3.8 million women working in Ontario.
Yeah, you're rounding up, but yeah. And again, these are 2023 numbers.
And this is not including any illegals.
This is not including illegals. Those females there, they don't get access to tampons and menstrual pads, right? And that's definitely going to put a few more thousands on these numbers.
I know a particular construction worker that's been here for 10 years and he's a pork chop and completely illegal.
Yeah. Yeah, under the radar,
I guess once you get into the routine.
You're good. You're ducking and dodging, but yeah. Again, you know.
Agree with it.
No. If you're going to come to Canada, you got to go through the path and you got to go through the steps. And, you know, I get it for a few months, you know.
So I'd love to still do a washroom blitz and go to all the low rise, high rise, everybody, and see if there's running hot and cold. See if there's heat.
That's the purpose of Ministry of Labor Inspectors. To enforce the regulations.
Give me the $1 million paycheck and I'll just do the roundabout.
Just to put this in perspective, when washrooms became a massive, hygiene and wash facilities became a major issue, was right at the beginning of COVID. Right? Washrooms, place to wash your hands, cleaning job and sites, stuff like that. Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, at that time, there's a lot of things happening, but at that time, Ministry of Labor Inspectors were not out in force. So how are they verifying if washroom facilities were on site? Because obviously hygiene is extremely important. They're picking up the phone and calling the builder. Hey, do you have washrooms on site? Yeah. Do you have running water? Yeah. Okay, cool. Did my paperwork for the day while not even leaving their house. Man, we got the receipts, bro. it's crazy.
Give me the job. I'll go and I'll do a blitz, man.
Manny, it would take you 1,000 years to make it to every construction.
I will go to all of them right next to each other. I'll just keep on. I'll go up, come down, summons.
It's not that easy, Manny.
I'll be like,
it's not that easy.
Give me a post-it note summons board.
But one thing's for sure. If the government wanted to do it,
they would. They don't want to.
If the government wanted to enforce these regulations, and they say they do, and, you know, obviously through some of the things that we see and social media and blitzes and campaigns and initiatives and stuff like that, they definitely announce a lot of things. But once you start slicing it up, and once you start looking at the numbers, and once you start actually paying very close attention to these fine details, there's a lot of hoopla for accomplishing nothing.
Does it bother you that you did all this research and never got paid the government salary for the people that did the same research that didn't achieve anything?
Manny, I do this for free.
I know, but that's what I mean.
I did this because I like it, man. I'm passionate.
They found these numbers. They put these numbers together. They designed a whole plan and they put it all together. Well, and they said,
they sold.
We're only going to supply for 1.03 people, but we're gonna sell it like we're selling it to all the women.
No, they sold it hard, and I think one of the disappointing things with this is that you'll see females in construction or associations or organizations touting this as a win. This is amazing. We'd like to thank the government for doing such a great job and this and that. But like, did anybody do the math here? My question, you know, like.
Because the menstrual pads will balance themselves. That's what they did.
Balance the budget?
Yeah, they'll balance themselves. They will solve the problem themselves.
One thing's, I appreciate all the feedback I got from that episode. There's actually one story here that somebody wanted me to tell on air. Female worker, crash truck driver, okay, had to go to the washroom. And basically, they had to leave their crash truck. They had to call the site supervisor. The site supervisor is a man that they don't know.
Okay.
To ask the man to come bring the vehicle, to pick them up, to take them to the washroom off-site, Timmy's.
Okay.
Okay, because the crash truck driver can't take their crash truck to Tim Hortons.
No.
So they call the supervisor. There's a vehicle available within that 3 kilometers. They can take her to the Timmy's. Couple hours goes by. She has to go again.
Okay.
Right. And obviously, in this scenario, in this reality, you know, she had to go.
Yeah, of course.
Multiple times.
Fine. No big thing, whatever.
And the site supervisor said to her, why do I have to keep fucking driving you to the washroom? You just went an hour and a half ago. I'm not driving you to the washroom. And this lady had to get out of her crash truck, had to use the washroom on the side of the road. Okay.
You mean just use?
She had to go pee, I guess. She would pee on the side of the road and somehow still managed to handle her feminine products inside her crash truck. The point being, women have issues, or women in construction, the biggest issue for women in construction is still, in some sectors, a lack of a washroom, especially the sectors that have the most women.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole call a stranger, jump into the truck of a stranger and ask the stranger to drive you to a Tim Hortons at 2 o'clock in the morning that's full of strangers and needles and God knows what. This is reality for a lot of women in construction, especially in the sectors such as traffic control that have the highest amount of women. And again, the whole after the condo, the cleaning of the condo and stuff like that project, that sector has a lot of women too. And they have multiple issues too with access to washroom facilities. So just to put it into perspective, if women want to tackle issues in construction, those are two big areas to tackle.
I know, but who's really at fault here? It's the government. And the builder, the constructor.
I think, you know, the government creates the Kool-Aid and then feeds the Kool-Aid and people drink the Kool-Aid. And then at the end of it.
I think if you assemble all the machinery you need to do the task at hand, it doesn't matter where it is, on the side of the road or some sort of infrastructure, infill, whatever, then part of that machinery that you're assembling is a bathroom for both.
Yeah. I think after this episode, I was having a conversation with an entire health and safety team. And their idea was, Phil, why don't we just put washrooms on a flatbed truck and drive the porta potties on the site, and there
it is. That's what I said.
Just drive them around.
But you know what it is? The developers and the big structures and the builders, they don't want it. They don't want it.
Again, I don't know why they wouldn't want it.
They don't want it because they probably tell the majority of the workforce, which is men, just go pee on the side of the road.
I feel like they've gotten away with that for many years.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Go pee on the side of the road, go shit in a bucket, but go.
According to the MOL, we're supposed to have proper bathrooms.
Well, we went through the bathroom
regulations. I know. So then bring that proper bathroom on the site.
Yeah, but see the caveats there? When
it's reasonably designed possible. So they can get away without having not sure. to put it on site.
Unfortunately,
I'm telling you.
Not a majority of sites, but some unique sites, right? Like infill housing, you'll find washrooms there. Low-rise building 5,000 houses, 500 houses, you'll find washrooms there. High-rise, you'll find washrooms there. They might not be arranged, you know, the 9 meters, the 3 floors. Okay.
I just came up with something.
Wash facilities, running water, drinking water, and then washroom facilities for workers that work in other sectors of construction. Their biggest challenge is just getting a washroom.
So I've been noticing in Mississauga, they're starting to illuminate aesthetically overpasses.
Okay, put some lights on the bridge?
Underneath the bridge.
Okay.
For the flowing highway traffic. But these are not illuminating lighting. This is strictly aesthetic lighting.
Decorative.
Decorative, like a line or something like that. It's a different color. Most of the time it's blue and shit like that. Here's my thought process is that if you really wanted to do something for all of this, you know how America has their interstate system is designed in a way that every so often there's a straight run and then there's a curve to the interstate, the major. And the reason they designed that in the event of a plane has to land, there's a straight, that's
okay.
It. Look it up. It's true.
Okay.
So it's, if there's a failure and the aircraft has to go down, then they can get onto a highway because there's a straight run. They can make it, right?
Okay.
So my thought process is someone should start designing these overpasses with built-in washrooms in the arms of the overpasses.
Who's going to maintain them?
Then you get a whole infrastructure maintaining. You go through every single one. You maintain them. But then when you're doing infrastructure work,
Manny,
it's there.
We barely have garbage cans in city parks.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Wait, those, the washroom those facilities are the, in those city parks?
That's what we should do. Listen, like you go to Europe and you got to put money to go into a bathroom that's clean. They clean the whole thing, right?
I've seen some really crazy washrooms.
I know. Europe, that's what I'm saying. Like,
you, like classy
so
places,
so why aren't we not doing something like that? So now you have facilities that workers that they can walk a lot closer than 180 meters. To get to, and you don't have to deal with this scary situation of a female or even a man
have to.
Going to the middle of the night into a Tim Hortons with complete strangers. Like,
of course. Yeah, that's the last place I want to use a washroom, and you know.
But nobody's thinking about that.
No, listen.
They're just thinking how to market the idea that we're going to do something without doing it.
No, if they wanted to do something, they could have removed, if reasonably possible, from a few of those regulations.
Yeah.
Just remove that sentence there.
That's the lawyer.
Yeah. And added 3-ply where it says toilet paper. I'm really pushing for that 3-ply. And maybe.
Good luck on that.
Yeah, I know. Maybe a little bit of potpourri. A nice fresh smelling candle.
Sometimes you'll find a pine cone.
Yeah.
The tree, I mean. Right? The little. And the that's kind of nice.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
All right. What is this? This is workplace injury results in fine for Woodbridge Company. Woodbridge. Woodbridge.
Woodbridge. Oh. Don't look.
Here in Toronto, for all the American listeners, this would be the Jersey Shore.
Man, you know what I'm just realizing?
Wouldn't it be? Woodbridge is the Jersey Shore, isn't it?
Jersey Shore. That was that, Jersey that show Shore. Oh, man, that thing was painful to watch.
I never watched it. Dude, I can't watch car crashes like that, man.
You know what? I think we've already done this one.
Woodbridge? I don't know. I don't know if I've seen this one. There's been a lot of them.
A worker was critically injured while attempting to clean waste cheese particles out of a groove in a conveyor drive roller. We did this one. By not ensuring the conveyor was equipped with a guard, Saputo failed to ensure the measures and procedures prescribed by Section 25 of the Regulations for Industrial Establishments. Okay. So someone got their fingers part of a groove conveyor drive roller. No guarding.
Yeah, we did this one. They put their hand in. The guardrail was not up.
I remember I've been digging. I've had to go back.
That's fine. Don't worry.
We've covered so many of these.
Yeah, we did do this one.
We did, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, all right. Well,
you can recap. You can recap it. This one was nothing, wasn't this? This one was.
No. Hopefully, you'll guess it right now. A worker was cleaning and sanitizing the equipment used to process and package various cheese products.
75?
The fixed-in-place guards designed to prevent worker access and in-running nip hazards were removed from a conveyor to allow worker access to all parts of the machine for cleaning. While attempting to clean waste cheese particles that were stuck in the groove of a conveyor drive roller, the worker was critically injured. The conveyor had been running while the worker was cleaning.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
In-running nip hazards.
Nip hazards?
That's what it's called. In-running nip hazards.
Nip hazards.
Right there. NIP.
And that ain't hazard. A political red flag?
What does NIP stand for?
Really? Don't worry. Someone will send you an email.
Well, I don't know.
You never heard the term NIP?
No.
Okay. Never mind. All you Filipino listeners.
Am I going to get a flood of messages now? Stop, Manny. I don't even want to know. Don't message me. I want to clarify.
NIP hazards.
All right. In running nip hazards, Saputo failed as an employer to ensure the measures and procedures prescribed by Section 25 of the regulation.
What am I looking at? You don't have anything on the screen.
Yeah, so this is what I was reading here. And Saputo failed as an employer to ensure procedures prescribed by Section 25 Saputo of regulation.
Saputo is a spinach company, isn't it?
Saputo's the cheese factory,
or
man.
Or cheese? Yeah, I think it was 75. Wasn't it 75? 79.5. See, I was pretty close.
79.5. Slightly above the average for a critical injury.
That's a critical injury. So they lost a hand or an arm.
It doesn't say exactly.
It should still be 1.795.
Bottom line, this guy's hand either got a chunk missing or got crushed or... It just says injury. It doesn't even say critical.
Wait, where does it say NIP? In running NIP hazards.
The fixed in-place guards designed to prevent worker access to in-running NIP hazards.
It's kind of funny because Justices of the Peace, Crown Counsel Judy Chan.
I'm not putting two and two together.
Okay, never mind.
You're trying really hard to educate me.
Judy Chan and NIP hazards. I wonder if Judy had a smirk or something. I don't know.
So $79,500 for this company.
1.795.
Is that just add a zero?
Yes, it should be.
Just add a zero.
Just add a zero, and that would make me feel a lot better, and then I'm pretty sure Saputo would never have this problem ever again.
You'd
be surprised. Pretty sure they can afford it. Cheese is expensive these days.
Especially the tariffs they put on it, man. It's crazy.
I love my brie cheese. I love all kinds of cheese.
Oh, do you see how much tariffs we put on, like, Quebec cheese? It's crazy. It's insane. For just the Quebec cheese to come to Ontario? Yeah, oh, Quebec. Man.
It's time for Quebec to become its own country.
The 51st state is just going to be Quebec?
No, Quebec on its own. They'll never become 51st state, but that's another thing. All right. I get it. Okay.
And that's a wrap. I'm done talking about tampons. I'm done talking about menstrual pads. It's enough.
I disagree with how they've set it up. I think that they should be in all bathrooms. I think bathrooms should be easily accessible to all workers in every situation. Period, period, period. That's
a lot of periods there, man. And straightforward. And this issue has been going on for the last...
It's pretty simple.
30 years, man. 40 years. There's no
skirting around this shit. Like, it's just, it's simple. Get the bathroom there for both. Period.
No. It is what it is.
All right, dude. That's it.
That's a wrap. Yeah, man. I'm good.
You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1. For workers, by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.